IVM. You're listening to the podcast presented by the Daily Pow. This is Pranuti,
Amit,
and Purva,
and we're from the dailypow.com, a Bombay-specific food and culture website, and this is our weekly podcast, The Poudcast. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the city's Iranian connection, and this is an episode of Metro Station, in which we talk about city history and news. So stay tuned for Metro Station.
Metro Station.
Today on Metro Station, we're going to be talking about the city's Iranian connection. And the reason we're talking about this is because it was Navroz last week. And Pran, you celebrated it by going and buying some baklava.
Yeah, this is something I'd been meaning to do for a long time. You know, every year around Navroz, which Jamshedi Navroz, which takes place on March 20th and 21st, this one place in Bhendi Bazaar called Iranian Sweets Palace, it opens for 2 weeks around Navroz. And it's run by this guy called Haji Muhammad Hassan Hajati. And the shop has been around, or the business has been around, since 1909. And every other papers carry a story about Iranian Sweets Palace. And it's one of these Bombay things that I hadn't done and I felt I should do, which is why I made the trip this time.
Sounds like a pop-up before pop-ups were invented.
Yeah, it kind of is a pop-up, except that, you know, they own that space. So he opens the shop a month in advance. Mm-hmm. He spends 1 week prepping, 1 week cooking the sweets, and 2 weeks selling the stuff. And he's famous for baklava, which is, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of baklava, to be honest.
It's super rich.
It is very rich.
Is it from Iran, or is it, do you know where?
From that region, you know, Turkey, Iran.
But he has just become synonymous with Turkey for some reason.
Yeah, but his baklava is quite different from Turkish baklava, you know?
Okay.
So he doesn't have those layers, the fine filo. Layers of filo pastry.
Right.
He's got a biscuit-like, quite a stiff upper layer.
Okay.
And the filling is quite yum. Like in Turkish baklava, you know, the nuts are sort of separate. Mm-hmm. You know, the texture is quite crunchy.
They're coarser because they're like bigger pieces of
nuts. Exactly.
Yeah.
But he cooks the nuts to a halwa-like consistency. So it's quite pasty.
I see. So but is it more like mithai or it's like pretty
yeah,
much?
Yeah, it is. It is. But very, very nutty. You know, like he doesn't skimp on the badam.
Okay.
You know, so it really tastes like one of those winter sweets that you have to keep yourself warm.
And does he cook them in ghee? Is that what they use to bind?
I'm not sure what grease he uses, but he uses honey to sweeten it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that that makes it any less fatty. It tastes pretty fatty.
And can you buy it like by the piece, or is it just by the kilo?
No, so you have to buy it by the kilo. So it's $1,400 per kilo, and you have to buy a minimum of half a kilo. But within that half kilo, you can buy his other stuff as well. So you can buy a bit of baklava. And he also makes 3 varieties of a sweet called Luz.
Okay.
Yeah, so he makes...
How do you spell that?
L-O-U-S-E. So he makes a Luz pista, a Luz badam, and a Luz zafran, which is saffron.
Okay.
And he also sells dry fruit, like Irani dry fruit. And he sells certain ingredients that are used in Iranian food, like, you know, the berries of beri pulao.
The zeresk berry.
Zeresk berries, those tart berries that you get in Britannia and their beri pulao. Then he sells these limes called limu omani, which again is used in Irani food. He sells something called kashk. And these are little balls of camel milk.
Oh.
And
a ball of camel milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's sweet or something.
I'm not sure how it tastes, actually. Okay. I haven't had it.
Interesting. And maybe something that deserves a piece.
Yeah, but only for these 2 weeks.
I see.
So the shop is open till March 31st.
So he imports all of this stuff.
Yeah, from Iran.
What is the Sweet Palace throughout the year and the rest of the year?
It's not. It's closed throughout the rest of the year because he used to be a stockbroker and he still dabbles in stock.
And is now in the construction.
And he also has a little construction business.
Okay,
but this is a family tradition that that he's carried forward.
Okay.
So I called Mr. Hajati this morning to check whether all these ingredients that are used in Iranian food, whether they're available. And he said that the berries are in stock and you can buy them till the end of this month. Okay. But the limes are not.
Okay.
And the other thing that's not in stock is something called Robe Anar, which is a pomegranate puree that's used
nice.
In their food. Yeah.
Right.
But he usually has it, but you know, he doesn't have it this time. But you know, on that very street on which Iranian Sweet Palace is, it's called Imamwada Road, you have two other sort of Irani sites. One is Mughal Masjid, which is a lovely piece of architecture.
Very blue.
It's blue, yeah. It's got this lovely blue mosaic tiling. And it really looks like a piece of Persia smack in the middle of Bhindi Bazaar because it's this gorgeous blue color.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a dome. Apparently, this is an architectural feature of, you know, some Persian masjid architecture. There's no dome, but it has minarets and it has this lovely arched doorway. So that's quite a sight to see in Bhindi Bazaar, in which sort of the tones are brown and grey, and you have this lovely.
It really stands out.
It really does stand out.
But it's like a mosque, right? So can you enter?
You can't enter. You can just appreciate it from outside.
Yeah.
And right next to that is the Irani Hammam, which I don't know if people will want to enter it.
Well, I have entered it, but I haven't actually gone inside because it's an Irani bath, right?
Right.
Isn't that what it is?
So, I mean, it's called a Turkish bath.
Yeah.
I mean, these hammams are called Turkish baths, but it's called the Irani Hammam.
Yeah. So basically, you're supposed to go there, take your own bar of soap when you start.
Oh, really? So it's still in use.
Yeah.
It is still in use, but I don't think, but very few people actually go there.
I know.
And it's decrepit.
It's quite decrepit. It's very grotty. And there's a sign right inside that says it's actually only Muslims are allowed to use it.
Okay.
And there's another sign that says heart patients should not
Why?
Because.
But it's because they give you a massage.
They give you a massage and they give you, they really scrub you down apparently. And I think that, you know, this is one of those things that only journalists have gone and experienced apart from the people that actually use it. Like, I mean, the rest of the people who actually don't live in their area don't really go and visit it, right? But because it's just like a thing to write about, I've seen so many pieces in different publications talking about this whole experience of how they really sort of that
they scrub you down.
Supposed massage is really quite
aggressive.
And
well, yeah, I've been to a hammam, so I know how aggressive they can get. Because for them, you're just like a piece of meat or like one number out of the thousands that they bathe in a day.
Except that hardly anyone goes to this
one.
So it's really a curiosity more than anything else. But it still exists.
Yeah. So I remember I went there, and I went there with a photographer, and I think they obviously figured that, you know, we were sort of tourists, so they didn't allow us to enter. But I think you can go. People, male listeners who are really interested in experiencing this, can go there, pretend that, you know, they're like, be all cash about it and act like they've been there 100 times and get a scrub.
Well, I mean, again, the other big Irani connection is, of course, the Irani cafe. And we're not going to talk too much about that because, I mean, everyone knows what the Irani cafe is.
But I think we were talking about how, like, they're sort of synonymously called Irani and Parsi cafes. But the fact is that there's a difference between Irani and Parsi. And also the food is quite different.
Right. So, you know, most Irani cafes are run by, well, I don't want to say most because I don't have a grip on the numbers, but a large number of them are run by Zoroastrian Iranis.
Mm.
And how they're different from the Parsis is that they migrated to India much later, around the 19th century.
Mm.
A lot of these Irani cafes are also run by Muslim Iranis who serve Parsi food, like Kular and Company in Matunga, for example. It's run by a pair of brothers called Amir and Ali Kular. But they serve, you know, your keema pao and all kinds of Parsi food, right? But a couple of Irani cafes do serve Iranian food. One of them is Cafe Universal.
Well, Select Dishes,
yeah. Like two dishes. Yeah. So Universal, for example, which is in Fort, and it's a lovely place. It's owned by Zoroastrian Iranis who migrated pretty late, like in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Dhemiri family. And I remember talking to them, and so Mr. Dhemiri married in a Parsi woman, this woman called Triti. His wife is called Triti. She grew up in Bombay. Then she migrated to Iran and lived over there for some time, and then they all migrated back to Bombay. She really liked it in Iran. She said it was very clean. And so they run Universal and they offer two items which are Iranian. Like one is called gourmet sabzi, which is sort of a stew with greens and these limes that I mentioned, as well as some meat. And another item is called geme badinjan, which is a brinjal in tomato sauce and also meat. Right. They also serve veg items, veg versions of these.
But I'm imagining that there'd be also quite a few meat dishes, right? There'd be.
Well, the city has chalo kebab and jooje kebab, and you get that in a few places.
Yeah, so Piccadilly
on
Colaba Causeway has an Irani section.
Right.
And so they serve chalo kebabs.
Yeah. In fact, Kopachim has been serving it for a while.
For a while, and also
Indian Summer used to serve it.
Santoor, famously at Cuff Parade, used to serve chalo kebabs and everyone loved it, but I mean, I thought they were overrated.
Even Khyber does it.
Santoor is not vegetarian?
Santoor.
No. And doog, do you get doog here? Because that's something very popular at Shisha Cafe in Pune.
I haven't
which is
seen.
Like,
it's their
like
equivalent of a lassi, of a salted lassi actually, or chas you could say. But it's nice, it's thicker, creamier, it's a fantastic drink. I think I go to Shisha Cafe just for the doog, but they do a lot of these jooje kebabs and all of that as well. What I've noticed is that it's like a basically meat prepared as a kebab and rice. So it's quite dry, a lot of their preparations. There's not much salt. Even the berry pulao, if you see, it's like their equivalent of a biryani, right? But there's not necessarily an accompanying gravy with the dish. That's interesting.
So that's it for this week. Remember that Iranian Sweets Palace in Bhendi Bazaar is open till March 31st. So you have a few days to buy baklava and other Iranian sweets. And we've also done a post on the sweet shop on the dailypower.com. So do check that out. We'll see you next week. For more on what's happening in the city, read thedailypow.com. Also subscribe to our newsletter on the website. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We're The Daily Pow. And you can find this podcast on the IndusVox Media SoundCloud page, as well as iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn.